Hi, this is Lance Piantogeni of MagisterP.com, and welcome to Latin Poetry Rhythms. This podcast series on what I like to call rhythmic fluency is my response to the lack of resources available on the web for anyone looking to increase their reading fluency of Latin poetry. Of course, if you're looking to hear Latin poetry, there are plenty of didactic resources on Scansion and poetry analysis, not to mention all of the performance clips of people reciting and singing Latin, sometimes with musical accompaniment, or sometimes just solo voice. However, I haven't been able to find any general templates that provide structure to improve and understand rhythm and meter. And I was looking for something along the lines of backing tracks you would expect a jazz musician to use. I couldn't find any, so I made them. With a background in music and my primary instrument being percussion, I understand rhythm and have some suggestions and alternatives to traditional ways of thinking about meter. So in this series, I'll walk you through how to use these downloadable audio files and talk about the methods of madness behind certain practices I've adopted to be used in conjunction with these files. In this first podcast, we'll listen to the dactylic hexameter, focusing on natural pauses such as the caesura and diéresis, and then talk about the importance of natural word accent. And now for the chocolate and vanilla of Latin meter, dactylic hexameter. Okay, those were lines 55 through 57 of Ovid's Metamorphoses, Book 4. I chose those for their natural pauses, or I should say the possible natural pauses. And I will argue that the principal caesura is the most important feature to attend to when reading this meter. In fact, it's so crucial, I'm going to play that first half of the line once more. Why was that so important? Well, this happens to be the most frequent place you'll find a natural pause in the language itself. Now, you might even have been taught to ignore that natural pause. Nonetheless, if you are accustomed to take note of the principal caesura, stop counting feet and searching for when a word ends within the second, third, or fourth foot. Instead, focus on the rhythm while you read for meaning. Now let's listen to that one more time. Now even though we're looking at dactylic hexameter in this podcast, this first half of the line is also important for its application in other meters, such as elegiac couplets. If you're familiar and comfortable with pausing at this location, you're all set. The second line in the couplet is comprised of two of these halves. So, back to dactylic hexameter, let's continue to get a feel for the meter. Here are the four possible rhythms you'll hear when pausing at this principal caesura. You can find that rhythm in line 55 of Ovid. Pyramus et Tisbe. Here's another one that you should be familiar with. That was our Virgil, Arma virumque cano. And here's another. You can find that rhythm in line 2 of Juvenal's first satire, Vexatus totiens. And this last possibility doesn't occur that often, but is worth hearing. That was from Ennius, Book 1, line 43. Aerumnae post ex. Certainly very heavy sounding, with those spondees, no doubt for effect. I'm now going to play those four in a row, but keep in mind that the natural pause occurs in the same place. and that these rhythmic variations reflect the difference in spondees and dactyls only. In that last spondaic variation, you probably heard the shaker play an extra sound in there. Let me play that again. That shaker sound not only helps keep time by providing us with the musical beat, or ictus, but also is there for any substitutions of spondees for dactyls. Sometimes those sounds are represented by the drum, and other times by the shaker, to create what's called a composite rhythm. This is why I consider these audio files to be general templates, because as long as you're pausing at this particular principal caesura, it doesn't really matter what combination of dactyls or spondees there are. So what about when the natural pause doesn't fall on this particular place in the line? We'll take a look at other caesurae next, but for now my suggestion is to stick with this pause until you're really comfortable with the feel. And then you can start picking up on pauses such as the following. That was line 57 from Ovid's Metamorphoses, Book 4, in which the scent is clear enough. Contiguas tenuere domos. But what if I wanted to call attention to contiguas as opposed to another type of domos? We can do this. In this case, there are two pauses in the line, one of them being the principal caesura, the other being one of them remaining three. Now, it might seem odd to pause in two places, but who says we can't? I happen to like how there's more time to process what's going on. And back to Virgil's Aeneid, the second line behaves the same way. Italiam fato profugus lavinieque venit. Which is an effective way to call attention to that important clause, right? Fato profugus. Which leads us to the next caesura variation that happens to be my favorite. Here's line 56 of Ovid. Again, there are two pauses, but the first one is very abrupt, occurring at the diaresis, which is the coincidence of a word and foot end. In this case, altera is a dactyl in itself. But this also calls attention to the relative clause in there. Quas oriens abuit, while sounding a little more interesting rhythmically. Altera, quas oriens abuit. Prelata puellis. Let's repeat these caesurae variations taken in their context. Lines 55 through 57 of Ovid's Metamorphoses, Book 4. You can download that snippet we just heard at magisterp.com, as well as longer files of that most common principal caesura we listened to first. You have a choice of three different speeds, and I suggest downloading Audacity, with which you can edit these further, such as changing the speed even more, or just looping to have longer files, or even customizing these rhythms for a particular poem that you can do at your leisure. I'm going to wrap this up with natural word accent. So here's my big claim. 99% of the Latin poetry you'll read follows the accentuation system of prose, and not one of ictus or anything else. Unless, of course, 99% of what you read is Plautus, who is a different breed altogether. But this claim is not entirely my own. There's a document written in 1939 by F. W. Shipley entitled The Problems of the Latin Hexameter, in which the author discusses the absence of ictus and the importance of natural accent while providing plenty of evidence in support. But here's a brief modern anecdote. I was in the company of a grad student struggling with a line of Virgil's dactylic hexameter, who then said, "You know what, forget it. I'm just going to read it." What everyone in that room heard next was a near-perfect line of meter, and even the professor had to stop and point out that it had sounded clearer and more accurate than any attempt earlier in that class. What does this mean? Well, when reading a line of poetry as if analyzing it, it's easy to become bogged down by isolated dactyls and spondees, and inadvertently stress the ictus while counting 6 feet. When all we have to do is fluidly connect each word and anticipate the natural pause. So if you are accustomed, and have even been taught, to accent the first syllable of every foot, I feel you have been led astray by certain academics without a true sense of rhythm or musicality. Now, whether or not poetry had ever been performed in such a way is not really my concern. I'm in this for language acquisition, not just the study thereof, or even the reconstruction or reenactment of traditions thought to be authentic, seeing as I find no logic within, and even get no enjoyment out of such traditions. It may be a product of the times, or simply a musical background, but I cannot sit through hours of da 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 da. It just, I can no longer deal with that. In a pedagogical sense, there's no use in asking students to all of a sudden change their pronunciation system for the sake of someone's idea of meter, when the act of simply connecting words that are accented as they normally are creates the meter itself. On that note, this concludes the first podcast on rhythmic fluency. We listened to Dactylic Hexameter, focusing on the principal caesura and diaresis, and talked about the importance of natural word accent. In the next podcast, we'll listen to hendecasyllables, and I'll offer alternatives to the traditional, yet illogical practice of scansion. How's that for a hook? Av at quae vale.